శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 3 చాప్టర్ 3 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 27 క్యాంటో 3 చాప్టర్ 3 టెక్స్ట్ 27 చాప్టర్ 3 ఆఫ్ క్యాంటో 3 ఇస్ కాల్డ్ యాజ్ ద లార్డ్స్ పాస్ టైమ్స్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ వృందావన్. సో టెక్స్ట్ 27 గోస్ యాజ్ ఫాలోస్. హిరణ్యం రజతం సయ్యాం వాసం స్యజిన కంబలాన్ యానం రథాన్ ఇభాన్ కన్యా ధరామృత్తి కరీమపి. హిరణ్యం gold, rajatam, gold coins, sayyam, bedding, vasamsi, clothing, ajina, animal skin for seats, kambalan, blankets, yanam, horses, rathan, chariots, ibhan, elephants, kanya, girls, dharam, land, vritti karim, to provide livelihood, api, also. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The brahmanas were not only given well-fed cows in charity, but also gold coins, bedding, clothing, animal skin seats, blankets, horses, elephants, girls, and sufficient land for maintenance. The Brahmanas were not only given well-fed cows in charity, but also gold coins, bedding, clothing, animal skin seats, blankets, horses, elephants, girls, and sufficient land for maintenance. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All these charities, whatever is mentioned here, all these charities were meant for the Brahmanas, whose lives were devoted entirely to the welfare of society, both spiritually and materially. The Brahmanas were not given their services as paid servants, but the society provided them with all necessities. It was arranged for some of the Brahmanas who were in difficulty for marriage to be given girls. The Brahmanas therefore had no economic problems. The Kshatriya kings and rich mercantile men would provide them with all that they needed, and in exchange the Brahmanas were completely devoted to the elevation of society. That was the way of social cooperation between the different castes. When the Brahmana class or caste gradually became easygoing, being fed by the society, although they had no Brahminical qualifications, they degraded themselves into Brahma Bandhus, no longer Brahmanas. They degraded themselves into Brahma Bandhus or disqualified Brahmanas, and thus other members of society also gradually fell down from the social standard of progressive life. As described in Bhagavad Gita, The caste system is the creation of the Lord and is arranged according to the quality of work rendered to society and not in terms of birthright, as falsely claimed in the present degraded society. I repeat the last line. As described in Bhagavad Gita, the caste system is the creation of the Lord and is arranged according to what? According to the quality of work rendered in society and not in terms of birthright, as falsely claimed in the present degraded society. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatam Maham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Narayanam Namaskritya
Narayanam Namaskritya
Naram Chaiva Narottamam
Naram Chaiva Narottamam
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam
Tatho Jayamudhiraye
Nashtaprayeshu Abhadreshu
Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavati Uttamashloke
Bhaktir Bhavatir Naishtiki Hare Krishna. So we read the translation yet again before we start discussion. The Brahmanas were not only given well-fed cows in charity, but also gold, gold coins, bedding, clothing, animal skin, seeds, blankets, horses, elephants, girls, and sufficient land for maintenance. So, we are into the 27th verse, which is probably the second last or third last verse. Actually, second last verse in this chapter. So, we are coming to an end of the third chapter of the third canto. So, before we begin to discuss today's verse, a quick context of what situation has led to this particular verse as of today. Essentially, a conversation or samvad is happening between two pure devotees of the Lord. Who are they? Uddhava and Vidura. So, Vidura has left home, he is on a pilgrimage and he is meeting Uddhava, and then this conversation starts. Way back it has started. So, a lot of conversation has already happened. So presently, Uddhava is describing the Lord's pastimes, Lord Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. As a part of that conversation, Uddhava is talking of various demons that have either been killed or defeated by Lord Krishna. So he's talking about so many demons. He's talking about the demon Narakasura, which led to the situation led to Lord Krishna marrying 16,108 wives. He talks about Dantavakra. He talks about the Lord's return to Kurukshetra. He talks about Duryodhan, how Duryodhan was lying on the battlefield, heavily wounded, waiting for his imminent death. So all this conversation is happening. Uddhava is just going on telling Vidura. And then there is a quote by the Lord which is given here. The Lord comes in picture, and it's a quote by the Lord which is mentioned by the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, saying that the Lord quoted that the greatest burden of the earth, who was the greatest burden on earth at that time? Duryodhan. If you remember the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada's purports to 1.1, Dharma Kshetre, Kurukshetre, there it is mentioned that the Lord's purpose of adventing was to remove the unnecessary weeds from society. So this burden, greatest burden of earth, was removed by the Lord already, because Duryodhan is now going to die. The entire Kuru dynasty is gone. So that burden was removed. However, the Lord says, there is one more burden which is greater than this burden. Which burden is that? Greater burden than the Kuru dynasty. Which burden is that? It is the burden of the Yadu dynasty. Now, ordinarily one may wonder, what is this? I thought the Yadus were devotees of the Lord, and then the Lord is calling them as a greater burden than the Kurus, who were completely against the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this is called as, this is not the burden of the beast, this is called as the burden of love. So that's a very nice Shastric point that is coming across in that section. And Prabhupada gives an example, the burden of love. What is the example of burden of love? The love of a mother towards the child. There is some burden, there is some stress involved, but then it is burden of love. It is still called as labor pain, not labor pleasure, right? When the mother is carrying the child and delivering, there is pain involved, but still, and it's in that sense, yes, it's a burden. And then there is a lifelong burden to take care of the child. And never does the mother stop. But it's a burden of love. So Lord Krishna is in the fatherly mood, in that sense. Or rather, Lord Krishna is in affectionate mood towards the Yadu dynasty. And in that mood, Lord Krishna is calling them as burden. And he says, there is yet a bigger burden. And he says, this burden I myself will remove from this earth. Which is, the Lord is foreboding the destruction of the Yadu dynasty. And then, the Lord says that, I will myself arrange an internal quarrel of the Yadu dynasty by which they will annihilate themselves. Who can annihilate the Yadu dynasty? The Yadu dynasty came to this material world by the desire of the Lord, and they were devotees of the Lord. So who can kill a devotee except the Lord himself? Nobody can kill a devotee in that sense. So the Lord says, by my own power I will arrange for them to destroy themselves. Because no one else was there on the earth who was as powerful to kill them. And then the conversation between Uddhava and Maitreya Muni takes a small turn, and they come back to discuss Maharaj Yudhishthira's crowning. And then Maharaj Yudhishthira, being Dharmaraj, he being the ideal king, the conversation starts moving to various aspects of Varnashrama Dharma. And one such aspect we are discussing now. The conversation also goes towards how Lord Krishna himself epitomized the perfect grihastha. So it talks, so there is some smattering of information about Lord Krishna's householder life. conversation again comes back to the Yadu dynasty and how the Yadus were cursed by the Brahmanas. Why were the Yadus cursed by the Brahmanas? Because the Yadus performed what is called as Vaishnava Aparad. When we perform Vaishnava Aparad, then there is no hope for us. We may be excellent in our services, but if we get proud of our excellence in our service and if we start looking down upon others, other devotees, then there is no point in doing that service. So this point is again and again hammered at, in various sections, in various scriptures. We may be very adept at our services, but we think we are the doers. When we think that we are very good at something, then we are removing Krishna from the equation completely. We are forgetting that that ability of ours is given by the Lord, and that ability can be taken away any time when we become very proud. So, Yadu dynasty, by the Lord's desire, they showed some kind of a pride in that sense, and they were very casual in their dealing with Brahmanas. And the Lord says, I will not pardon casual behavior with senior Vaishnavas, especially Brahmanas. The Lord doesn't pardon them. So, because of the Vaishnava Aparad, they were cursed that they will fight amongst themselves and get killed. Now, after that curse, the conversation again comes back to the Vrishni Vamsas, the Yadu dynasty. How some members of the Vrishni Vamsas stayed back in Dwarka, whereas some others went to Prabhasha Kshetra, which is again a holy place of pilgrimage. So out of the Yadu dynasty, some people stayed back in Dwarka and some others proceeded to Prabhasha Kshetra. So that was yesterday's verse. So it is mentioned that the people who stayed back in Dwarka, Prabhupada is calling them as eternal devotees of the Lord. And then Prabhupada is classifying in the purport, there are two types of devotees. One who are Nitya Siddha and one who are Sadhana Siddha. Eternally liberated and who are liberated by virtue of their devotional practices. And Prabhupada goes on and says that the people who are totally Krishna conscious, they never left Dwarka. But the others, who were also Krishna conscious but not pure devotees, they left and went to Prabhasha Kshetra, which is a holy place of pilgrimage. So Prabhupada gives a very important point that for a pure devotee of the Lord, there is no necessity of going on a pilgrimage. Especially if that going for a pilgrimage is at the cost of a service which they are currently doing for the Lord. So this is a very nice point that comes across in this particular section. Just like that, you know, a few days back, my wife was telling me, you know, about Kamleshwari Mataji, a very exemplary devotee in our congregation. Kamleshwari Mataji had an opportunity to go to Adelaide, right, where His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj was there right now. So she had that opportunity. But she said that, no, I have my services in Radha Vallabh temple, so I'll continue doing my services. And there is something that is very nice learning for all of us. It doesn't mean that, you know, one should not go, but this is another mode of a devotee who is so dedicated to doing her service that she did not go. So there is so much learning from these Vaishnavas for all of us. Now the discussion is that these devotees have gone to Prabhasha Kshetra, and when they go to Prabhasha Kshetra, what do these members of the Yadu dynasty, what are they doing? They are giving in charity to the Brahmanas. So when you go on a pilgrimage, it's a good opportunity for you to do charity. And that is what is mentioned in today's words. The Brahmanas were not only given well-fed cows in charity, but also gold coins, bedding, clothing, animal skin, seeds, etc., etc. So many things. It's difficult for us to give this kind of charity to a Brahmana. If we invite a Brahmana and he asks you gold coins, what will happen? Next time we'll think twice, whether to call this person or not. You can say, yeah, maybe a couple of $100 is probably good, but not gold coins. Come on. But this is Varnashrama Dharma, which existed in Maharaj Yudhishthira's time. So, there are certain key points that are coming from today's purport also, what Srila Prabhupada is talking about. So, let's have a discussion on that. Now, before we go to that today's translation specifically, today's purport, we need to understand that the Brahmanas are very dear to the Lord. That is why, when we say the Bhoga offering prayers, what do we say? Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana, Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya, Govindaya Namo Namaha. So the Lord is very affectionate towards the Brahmanas, even if that Brahmanas are on the Asuric side. Sometimes the Brahmanas are on the Asuric side also. What is a good example of that? Bali Maharaj pastime. The Brahmanas are on the Asuric side also. They are sitting, you know, the Yajnik Brahmanas are sitting on the other side. The Lord actually, when he came as Vaman Avatar, why did he come as Vaman Avatar? Because the demons had taken away the heavenly kingdom from the demigods. Why were they able to do that? Because the demigods offended Brahmanas. So they became very weak. Whereas the demons worshipped the Brahmanas very nicely, so they became very strong. Despite the nectar of immortality that the demigods had, despite that they could not prevent the Asuras from taking over the heavenly planets. Which means what? When you do Brahman Aparad, when we do Vaishnav Aparad, no nectar of immortality can work on us. So the Lord told Aditi, he said that, look, I will not directly interfere and kill Bali Maharaj. I can do that if I want. Why? Prabhupada writes in the purports, because the Lord never interferes where there is Brahmanas are involved. He doesn't interfere with their decisions. Of course, the Lord came and did the pastime in a different way and delivered everyone by taking 3 steps of land. So that's a very important point there, that the Lord is very affectionate to the Brahmanas. Now, why are Brahmanas so important in today's society? I don't know whether I would have said this before in another class. But when I was in business school, we were studying strategy. Strategy was one of the subjects for us. And in strategy, we were given an example of the world's best consulting firm, which is McKinsey. Many of you must have heard of McKinsey. It's very prestigious to work with McKinsey. So, we were taught a model by which you can understand the health of a company. And this model is called as the McKinsey's 7S model. What are the 7 S's? Shared values, structure. I forget. So, let me see. Shared values, structure, systems, style, staffing. Have I mentioned 7? Skills. Yeah. So many things. It doesn't matter. We are not having a management class here. But so there are 7 S's which they give. So it was mentioned that if you want to analyze the health of any company, whether the company is doing well or not, then you can assess that company's health in terms of these parameters. Now the interesting point there was that of all the 7 S's, the central circle was what? Shared values, not structure, strategy. I thought strategy was the most important. Anybody will think, is your company having the right strategy? No. It is mentioned that shared values. And my professor who taught me this, he was quite a well-known personality. You know, he was a gold medalist in management from one of the top institutes in India and in the world. We asked him, where is all this knowledge given? Where does the pristine knowledge of management come from? Do you know where it comes from? It comes from the Vedas. I thought he'll say Tom Peters, Peter Drucker. You know, I thought he'll give some big names of some management gurus who are sitting in Harvard University. You know, no. He said it all comes from Arthashastra. It just got so deeply ingrained in my mind. Otherwise, I had scant respect for anything that was religious at that time. But then when I heard it from his mouth, I said, oh my goodness, I'm proud of Vedic culture. So, these shared values, if they collapse, whatever strategy you may have, whatever structure you may have, the organization will collapse. be it a material institution or be it a spiritual institution. The Brahmanas are responsible for protecting those shared values in society. Any policy making that happens, any governance that happens in an institution, be it a company, be it a society, be it a community, be it a nation, be it international organizations like United Nations or whatever. If the shared values, there is some problem there, then it will manifest everywhere. There will be a compromise in all other aspects of management and governance. Now, who protects? Where do the shared values come from? As we mentioned before, the shared values come from the Vedas. Who protects the Vedas? Who protects the Vedas?
Brahmanas.
Brahmanas protect the Vedas. But for the Brahmanas, who will teach us all these things? If the Brahmanas start saying that, okay, I'll also take IT job and go, no, instead of Vedas, I'll learn Java in 21 days. What will happen to this world? If everyone moved away, right? So there has to be someone who dedicates his or her life to preserving the scripture and disseminating the scriptures out of compassion. So the Brahmanas play a very critical role in society. So they must be protected at all times. If the Brahminical layer is not protected, then all other Varnas will eventually collapse. That is a truth. And we see that that has happened in today's society. So, in today's verse, some aspects of Varnashrama Dharma, in terms of interaction of Brahmanas and other Varnas, specifically the Kshatriyas, is given here. How they were dealing with each other. Prabhupada is bringing that point very nicely in the purport. In Kali Yuga, we understand that all these Varnas are mixed up. So today we have Khichdi Varnashram Dharma. Everything is mixed up. We don't know who we are actually. Thoda thoda, little bit Brahman, little bit Shudra, little bit Vaishya. Everything, all of us have little bit, no, percentages of all qualities. Now Srila Prabhupada, whereas mentioned in the seven purposes of ISKCON, that one of the purposes was what? To develop world class Brahmanas. This is one of the missions of ISKCON. Because unless the Brahminical layer is established, Prabhupada concentrated exactly on that point. If you produce top class Brahmanas, then these Brahmanas can then bring order in society, which is chaotic. Now, it is very important to understand the nature of a Brahmana. Nature of a Brahmana in the sense, the nature of the pure Brahmana. Brahmana is not someone who just wears a 50 paise thread, no, which is available anywhere. No. This thread can come for, you know, 50 paise is how many dollars? 50 divided by, 0.5 divided by 50 is how much? 1/100th? Yeah, of a dollar. So, a thread can come for that much money. Is that what is a Brahmana all about? Just wearing the thread and roaming around? No. So, Brahmana is something much more deeper. So let us understand the original nature of a Brahmana. The first aspect of a Brahmana is that a Brahmana is self-inspired. You will see in Varnashrama Dharma that the Shudra is inspired by the three Varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya. The Vaishya is inspired by Brahmana and Kshatriya. The Kshatriya is guided by the... So who is inspiring the Brahmanas here? So a Brahmana is one who does not wait for others to inspire him in Krishna consciousness. Of course, Brahmanas do say, Prabhu, you pray for me and all those things. That is fine. But a Brahmana has to be self-inspired. Nobody needs to tell the Brahmana, Prabhu, please read Prabhupada's books. Then person is not Brahmana. If he has to be told always, no, to read. Right? Brahmana means a person who is self-inspired. A Brahmana derives this self-inspiration. Of course, when you say Brahmana is self-inspired, it's not Mayavadi philosophy. Okay? Self-inspired means what? A person who derives inspiration directly from the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So that is what is Brahmana. He does not depend on external society to motivate him. Otherwise, then he is not a leader then. Right? A leader is one who is self-inspired, who doesn't wait for others. So, in that sense, a Brahmana is not dependent on other jivas for his inspiration. Therefore, it is much easier for the Brahmana to surrender to Lord Krishna than to others who are waiting for some other inspiration or impetus to come from outside. Now, a living entity, in one sense, every living entity in that sense is naturally dependent on Lord Krishna. And when we artificially rebel against Lord Krishna, then we fall down. What is that verse? Jivera bhoga vancha kare maya chapatiya dhare. So when the jiva forgets the Lord and tries to enjoy separately from him, then maya captures that person. Whereas a Brahmana, as we said, his whole purpose of existence and his occupation is non-different from devotional service. A Kshatriya's occupation may not be directly connected with the Lord. A Vaishya's occupation may not have a direct connection. And a Shudra's occupation may also not have a direct connection. A Shudra means who is a Shudra? In the childhood, I used to think that Shudra means someone who doesn't take bath and who is like completely bedraggled and so, whereas then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, all of us, you are Shudras. And I was thinking, but I take bath every day. I was thinking like that. So Shudra is not such a person. A Shudra is anybody who works under someone. So what are we then? What are we? No! We are not Shudras. Because in the Bhagavad Gita it is mentioned that the quality of a Shudra is truthfulness. Can we say we are all truthful? So Mahaprabhu has been very merciful to us by calling us Shudras. Actually, we are a little bit lesser than that. Not little bit, maybe. To come to the platform of truthfulness, absolute truthfulness in this lifetime, can we always say the truth? Not possible. When we go to office, the first thing that comes out of the mouth is bluff. My company is the best, our products are the best in the market. So many things we have to say. You may believe it, you may not believe it. But you have to do so many things. In fact, one of my colleagues was telling me also, in office the other day, he was saying that I am not able to reconcile some of the management stuff that you guys do with your other life, of devotee, because he has seen us. So I told him that, look, this is an environment where we are governed by so many policies. So if an employee comes and asks, give me promotion, after all, you are a compassionate devotee. Can I say, oh yeah. Go Brahmana Hitayacha, go. You will also get promotion. If I go there, then I lose my job. Company will tell me, you are not required anymore. Here, right? So in that context, the person was leading me towards this kind of a conversation. Then I said, no. Of course, he will not understand how we are doubt. He will not understand the concept of dovetailing in Krishna consciousness. But it's a fact. It's a fact that outside, where we are doing Ugra Karma all the time, it's very difficult to, be highly principled. That is why Kadamakaran Maharaj also mentioned that in this world, we cannot avoid Ugra Karma. The moment you decide householder life, you are going out, no chance of avoiding Ugra Karma. Therefore, our only hope is what? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we cannot follow Varnashrama Dharma to the core. Everything perfect. And then try to become Brahma after that. We don't have to actually. There is a direct easy path. Jaga and Madais can be delivered by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita that the way of purifying ourselves is by taking the fruits of that activity and using it in Krishna consciousness. Then he says, I'll remove all the inauspicious aspects of that particular work that you are doing. So therefore, charity is definitely to be given by the householders. Without charity, the householder will come into the trap of his own Ugra Karma. And who should the charity be directed to? To the Brahmanas here. Now the Brahmanas, Prabhupada says, do not expect this charity. They are not paid workers who come on at the month end and say, where is my paycheck, dear Kshatriya? Brahmanas are not standing in some queue. Or with a bank account, so that it's remitted automatically. It's not like that. Brahmanas don't even ask the Kshatriyas anything. But Kshatriyas were so enlightened that they know what the Brahmana requires and they amply provide for that. So see the kind of gifts that the Brahmanas are being given. Who will give this in Kali Yuga? Not even a blanket. Blanket also we will think 10 times. No? Sometimes in charity we think, you know, we are not using it anymore, right, in the house. Can we give it in charity? No. This is our fallen condition today. So, a Brahmana has got no interest in this society. His only interest is in delivering the world by giving the pristine message of the Vedas as it is. Right? So, in that sense, the Brahmana's occupation is the very source of the Brahmana's perfection. Whereas that is not true for all of us. We saw an example just now. Our occupation will not be necessarily the source of our perfection. Of course, Prabhupada has given that. Dovetail it in Krishna consciousness. So the Brahmanas, therefore, because they don't need anything from anyone, therefore they are always independent. So this faculty of the Brahmana not depending on anyone else is entirely directed now towards dependence on Krishna alone. Rakshishiti Savishwaso Goptritve Varanam Tata. These are the two aspects of Sharanagati. Sadvida Saranagati. Two aspects. Like that. So the Brahmana says, I don't want to depend on anybody but except Guru and Krishna. So that is the Brahmana's mood. On the other hand, if you see the fourth order, Shudra, the Shudra's characteristic, his very nature is what? Dependence. And that is why the Varnashrama Dharma is it's a perfect system. People who are dependent on others all the time are Shudra. There is a way for them also. So Shudra is not by birth. It is by the nature. If we always depend on others for our progress, then that is Shudra characteristic. Now, this very nature of Brahmana to be independent can also pose problems for the Brahminical community in one sense. See, the Brahmana's nature is independence. Now, because the Brahmana's nature is to be independent, it is all the more important that the Brahmanas are united. Does it make sense? Because it is the Brahmana's nature to be independent, it is all the more important that the Brahmanas are united. Because if the Brahmanas are not united, who is there to guide them to be united? Another Brahmana only can guide them. Right? So this is very important. It is mentioned in history, you know, if you study Indian history, there was a Mughal king called as Ibrahim Lodi. Have you heard of him? He was like Aurangzeb. He was a very demonic personality. So this Ibrahim Lodi, when he came to conquer India, he came to a place and he saw that there were lots and lots of tents that were being set up. And it was night time. And outside every tent this fire was there. So he asked his soldiers, what is this? Why so many camps? He said, they are all having dinner. But he said, why? Some people are having some dinner here, some groups there. So then his soldiers told him, no, this is because these are the type 1 Brahmanas, you know, the highest caste, highest type of Brahmanas. These are the level 2 Brahmanas, you know, the lower Brahmanas, Sanodhya Brahmanas. These are the type 1 Kshatriyas, these are the class 2 Kshatriyas, and so on and so forth. And then Ibrahim Lodi, what did he say? He said, my job is very easy now. These people are already divided. So I can conquer very easily. So this is the problem. So this so-called caste system which is there in India, where people do not understand, and even within Brahmanas they make classifications just based on birth, which doesn't exist in one sense. This has divided society. So when the Brahmanas are independent, then all the more they need to be united. So Srila Prabhupada also said once that ISKCON cannot collapse from outside. Nobody can break ISKCON from outside. If at all ISKCON can collapse, it can only collapse from inside because of infighting between Brahmanas. Therefore, it is very important for all of us to understand this responsibility. Now, what is a Brahmana's job? There is a very nice pastime which talks about the mood of a Brahmana. How in pristine Varnashrama Dharma, a Brahmana always was very clear on what is his role in society and what is not his role in society. Now, where is this mentioned? Whatever, now we are going to discuss this pastime. This pastime is mentioned in a conversation which Bhishma Dev is having with Maharaj Yudhishthira. Bhishma Dev is instructing. If you see, read first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that Bhishma Dev is on a bed of arrows and he is about to leave his body. And then Lord Krishna himself is standing there giving darshan in the form of Narayana, because Bhishma Dev's mood was one of awe and reverence towards the Lord. And then the Lord is asking Maharaj Yudhishthira, now you have been crowned as emperor. Now you go and take instructions from Bhishma Dev on Varnashrama Dharma. Now, this particular pastime which I am going to talk is from the Mahabharata. It's not directly mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is not, in one sense, the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is not Varnashrama Dharma. Srimad Bhagavatam is above Varnashrama Dharma. Srimad Bhagavatam's only purpose is what? Nirmat Saranam Satam. It is for those people whose only interest is love of God. They don't even want to talk about dharma, morality, you know, all these things. But yes, Mahabharata still talks about that. But it is sometimes good to understand certain things from these scriptures also. So it talks about, Bhishma Dev is explaining to Yudhishthira Maharaj how Yudhishthira Maharaj should continue to perform his duty as a Kshatriya. Because at the end of the day, yes, Dharmaraj Yudhishthira we say, but still he was a Kshatriya. So he has to uphold Kshatriya Dharma. So Bhishma Dev is talking to him. They are talking on the theme of punishment. Who should have the right to punish someone in society? So the conversation is about two brothers whose names are Shankhu and Likhit. Has anyone heard this pastime of Shankhu and Likhit? Now, these two people, Shankhu and Likhit, both were great sages. And both of them had lot of powers because of their tapasya. And they were very affectionate to one another, these two brothers. One day, Likhit came to Shankhu's ashram. So Likhit had his own ashram and Shankhu had his own ashram. So one day Likhit came to Shankhu's ashram. And what did Likhit do there when he came to Shankhu's ashram? He found out that Shankhu was not there in the ashram. And Shankhu had gone out to fetch some flowers. And Likhit suddenly felt very hungry. So what did he do? He went to Shankhu's garden and found that there were a lot of fruits over there. So he just plucked the fruit. After all, it was his brother's garden. So he picked up the fruit and he picked up one fruit and he ate it. And just as he was about to finish the fruit, Shankhu appeared there. And he asked his brother, where did you get that fruit from? So the kid said that I just picked it up from your own garden. So Shankhu asked him, did you take my permission? So he said, no, I didn't. You are my brother. I just plucked it and ate it. He said, no, this is not Brahmana. Now, you have to go to the king and ask him to punish you for taking someone else's property. See the kind of standards at that time. Right? And we take gulab jamun from others' plates. Of course, that's different. So he said, no, you have to go and now atone for this. You go and get punished. So he says, okay. He doesn't say, what did I do after all, What is this? Too much. I just took one apple. If you want, I will give you another apple.
No, this was not a conversation.
He said, no, brother has said, elder brother, so I should obey. He said, yes, yes, I agree. No, I'll go. No argument. So he went to the palace. And that time, it was being ruled by somebody by the name King Sudyumna. He was the ruler. So King Sudyumna saw this person. Likhit has come now. And he says, yes, how can I serve you? Brahmana has come. So he says, you can serve me by punishing me. What kind of request is this? He says, what happened? So he said that, look, I have stolen someone else's property, my brother's property, and I have to be punished. Is that not correct? He asked the king. The king said, yes. No, punishment. No. For stealing should be there. So he says, yes, I have stolen, now you must punish me. So king says, what is this? No, this is too much. I can't punish you. You are a pure Brahmana. How can I punish you? So he says, no, no, no. Then you are not doing your duty as a king. Because as a duty of a king, you must punish anyone who has stolen something. Technically, he was correct. So the king also told him another technical point. And that is the point for us. He says, as a king, I have two rights. Don't you know? I have a right to punish. But as a Kshatriya, I have the right to forgive also. So you cannot take away my right towards forgiving. So this is the Kshatriya's duty. So punishment and forgiveness is all Kshatriya business. It's not Brahmana business. To chastise or to not chastise. This is Kshatriya. So he says that no, I will not punish you. Of course, Likhit is also a Brahmana. So he is on his point. He says that I came to ask you for something and you are not disobeying me. So Kshatriya cannot disobey a Brahmana. So finally what happens? Who subordinates at the end of the day? In Varnashrama Dharma, who has to subordinate to who? The Kshatriya has to subordinate to a Brahmana always in any situation. There is no two ways about it. So then he says, okay, fine. No problem. Okay, come, I'll punish you. And what is the punishment for stealing? Do you know what is the punishment basically for stealing? Not, counseling and then go inside and then there is a lawyer who will give you bail and then there is a parole. No? And then you'll commit another offense. Then the lawyer will try to prove that this person was not mentally okay at that time. How you can come out. No lawyers at that time. Thankfully, no law schools were there. It was a simple rule. Cut off the hands. So then what happened? So Likhit stood like this. Like we stand in the airport security. Both the hands gone. And then Likhit goes back to his brother. Says, yeah, now come back. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na sochati na kankshati. No lamentation. So he goes back. And then his brother says, very good. Well done. Who is that? Shanku says. Very good. Now you have got punished for your sin. And therefore now you no longer that sin is attached to you. You are delivered. Now go to the seashore as usual to the banks and perform your devotional activities. Like performing tarpan. Om Keshavaya. Now for performing tarpan what do you need? How will you perform tarpan then without hands? But still, he goes. He doesn't argue with his elder brother. Hang on, you first remove my hands. Now you are telling me to do tarpan. It's not logical and scientific. He says, okay, I'll do. And he goes with faith that he can do tarpan. As soon as he goes to the river, enters the river, and he comes out after taking a bath, both his hands come back again. Okay. And then he performs his tarpan. And he comes back. And then he tells Shanku, I don't understand what is going on here. So Shanku tells him, this is because of my power that you have got your hands back. But if you are so powerful, you could have pardoned me also, no? If you really wanted to give me my hands back at the end of the day, then you need not have taken away my hands in the first place. Right? Why stage all this? He says, this is because I am a Brahmana. I don't have a right to judge your activity. To judge someone is the job of a Kshatriya and not of a Brahmana. So this is a very valuable lesson we give. So Brahminical quality means what? We don't keep on passing judgments on other people. This person is like this. I think this person should be told off by the management. No. this person should do like this person. That is not Brahminical quality. Brahminical quality means always peaceful. It is the job of administration or Kshatriya to award punishment or to absolve someone of their sins. Brahman also does not say like that. Brahman also doesn't have any business to say, no, no, I pardon you for this. Yes, pardoning is a quality of a Brahmana. But Brahmana doesn't take the decision in his hands. If the Kshatriya then asks, king asks the Brahmana, do you want to pardon him? Brahmana definitely will pardon. But Brahmana doesn't operate independently. So, we see that in pristine Varnashrama Dharma, this was such a pure Varna that existed. We see these wonderful qualities. Now, talking of Brahmanas, a Brahmana, we said, never gets involved in judgment of other people. Brahmana is highly learned and he only acts based on his knowledge. For him, his basic job is what? Patan patan. The basic job of a Brahmana is to teach, is to study the scriptures and to teach the scriptures. This is Brahmana. Now, it does not mean that the Kshatriyas don't have to read the scriptures. In fact, it is said that the Kshatriyas are as learned as the Brahmanas, and they have to be as learned as the Brahmanas from the scriptures. Then the Varnashrama Dharma is, otherwise they will not understand. The Kshatriyas will also start arguing. Brahmana says, do like, where is it mentioned? They'll have this argument and there'll be meetings full day. So the Kshatriyas are also as learned as the Brahmanas. They derive their learnings from the Brahmanas themselves. However, that doesn't mean that the Kshatriya starts giving Bhagavatam class. Kshatriyas don't give classes. I mean, I'm talking about Varnashrama Dharma. Don't mix with ISKCON. Because this is Daivi Varnashrama. This is something different. I'm talking about the pristine Varnashrama Dharma, which is got to do with that level of Varnashrama Dharma. But Kshatriyas will not give, you will not find a king giving, lecture on Bhagavad Gita or something like that. Why? One of my godbrothers mentioned that if Kshatriyas start giving class, then it will be no longer Krishna Katha. It will be called as Ishta Goshti. When Brahmana gives class, it is Krishna Katha. When Kshatriya gives class, it will become Ishta Goshti. Ishta Goshti means what? That the Kshatriya's conversation will be colored quite a lot with his experiences of administration. So it will not be as pure as, again, it is not applicable to devotees. Please don't mistake, don't get confused between that. But the Kshatriya will talk about his experiences then. How he went and killed somewhere, on how he managed something. That is not Krishna Katha, that is Ishta Goshti. So, the job of Patan Patan is verily the Brahmanas. In fact, just see this. 8.4 million species are there. And human life is hardly, how many species? 400,000. Sorry. There are more than 4 human species. 400,000, right? Yeah. 400,000 out of 8.4 million, these are human species. So, human species is extremely rare. Do you know what is the lowest of animal species? Aquatics. Why? Why not trees? Why aquatics? Because aquatics cannot hear. Under the water, you can't hear the holy name. Even trees can be delivered by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Of course, it needs a supremely loud voice for the aquatics to hear. Hari Nam. So they have no chance. So it is considered the lowest species. Now in that lowest species, the Lord is taking birth as Matsya Avatar, as a fish. Why? The Lord doesn't think even twice before appearing in that species, lowest species. Why? Just to save the Vedas. So just see the importance that the Lord holds to preserving the Vedas and preserving Brahminism in society. That is the importance of Brahmanas. So therefore, just as the Lord wants to protect the Brahmanas all the time, it is the duty of the Kshatriyas and also the other communities to protect the Brahmanas. So we'll end with another small aspect of the Brahminical life, which is very important to understand, and then we will end the class. Now, I heard something very interesting in one class. I just thought I'll share this with you. How does a Brahmana manage or how does a Brahmana deal with other Varanas, including other Brahmanas, other Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras? And there are lessons for us from that. It is mentioned that a Brahmana does not interfere. Usually a Brahmana does not interfere. He is very happy within himself, doing his patan patan, yajan yajan, reading scriptures, teaching scriptures, he is very happy. So how does he deal then with other Brahmanas? Because a Brahmana, what did we start with in the class, you remember? The nature of a Brahmana is to be independent. A Brahmana is never dependent on anyone else for getting inspired in his duties, right? That is Brahmana. So then how does one Brahmana deal with another Brahmana? Because both of them are independently getting inspiration. So if one Brahmana starts telling another Brahmana what he should do, then the other Brahmana is not a Brahmana. That means, right? So it is mentioned that the way one Brahmana deals with the other is not instructive in nature, but it is facilitative in nature. So Brahmanas facilitate other Brahmanas, and he allows the other Brahmanas Brahminical qualities to develop of its own and does not check it at any point in time. It does not interfere or check the other Brahmanas. How many rounds are you chanting? No, not like that. Correct. He does not check. Because he knows that the nature of a Brahmana is being independent. So he just uses the inherent qualities of a Brahmana. He just keeps on fanning and facilitating and encouraging. And allows him to use those qualities in the service of God and humanity. How does a Brahmana deal with a Kshatriya? Now, what is one of the qualities of a Kshatriya? Or rather, in one sense, what is an inherent nature of a Kshatriya? King means what comes first? False ego. I am the king. Like that. So you will always find, somebody, even in Krishna consciousness, we will find, moment someone is given a position of power, then they start throwing their weight on others. Correct? You can't do this. It happens even in Krishna consciousness. But now we are talking only about Varnashrama Dharma. So you can imagine the king, such a position of power. So he's got false ego. Now to such a person who has got false ego, can you instruct that person? He'll say, hang on, who are you to tell me? I know what I'm doing. Why do we want to get back that kind of a reaction? So we better be intelligent in dealing with someone who's got false ego. So a Brahmana deals with other Kshatriyas by inspiring them. With Brahmanas, he facilitates. With Kshatriyas, a Brahmana inspires them. He inspires them how? Not by telling them that, I think in this situation you are better off doing like this. That's not inspiration. So what he does, he inspires them by giving them examples of everyone else except the Kshatriya. He says in the Shastra also I have heard. Many times, even when we are preaching, we find so many kinds of people who come to the programs. Some people we know that this person, he doesn't want an answer. They'll come with false ego. Why do you call, Prabhu, I just want to understand why you are saying this 16 rounds. Like that. Why we have to do? You are saying that we should give up alcohol and all that. What kind of, this is not bhakti. Bhakti is inside the heart. So they don't have a question. They have a comment. But they will come as if they have a question. And they don't want the answer also sometimes. One day after Bhagavatam class, somebody was sitting here after Saturday Bhagavad Gita class. And he got upset, because we said chant 16 rounds. He got very upset. How can you impose these things like that? And then he had a question. But my question is, how do I improve in Krishna consciousness? You have to chant 16 rounds. But that's not fair. I said, what do I tell you now? Then immediately then we took another line because of this knowledge which we get from the Shastra. To such a person you can only inspire, give examples of others. So we said, no, we have seen that in my own life it has helped. And then the person became sober immediately. Rather than me directly telling that person, you should chant 16 rounds. Prabhupada said, all of you should chant 16 rounds. So we just say that, look, even I used to think like that, but in my own life this has inspired. And therefore you are not offending that person in any way. Or you give another example. Few days, even if it's sometimes live, you can say like that. Few days, but another boy also had the same question, you know. Then he also said that after I chanted Prabhu, you know, all problems solved. No, like that. So you have to tell indirectly. No? So a Brahmana, what does he do? He inspires Kshatriya. And then when the Kshatriya does it, when the Kshatriya does it, a Brahmana makes the Kshatriya feel that it was your decision and you did it actually. I didn't do anything. That is another quality of Brahmana. Inspire and give the credit to that person. Let him own his decision. Let him enjoy the merits of that. And let him feel good about his decision. How does a Brahmana deal with a Vaishya? With a Vaishya, a Brahmana directs the Vaishya. Facilitation, inspiration and direction. He directs. Now, there is a small point here. In this direction, the advice has little bit more of a command than what he did to the Kshatriya. There is a little bit more command. You can command Vaishya a little bit more than you can command a Kshatriya. And to a Shudra, he orders. Because the nature of a Shudra is to take orders. So to a Shudra, he orders. Again, not directly, but through the other Varanas. So this is how a Brahmana operates within society. So, given so much of lessons that we have from Varnashrama Dharma, then it is the duty of all of us, Prabhupada said, to come up to the Brahminical platform. And how do we come up to the Brahminical platform? First, by appreciating the Brahmana Varna in itself. And by starting at least, by beginning to facilitate this Brahminical ashram. So as householders, it is our prime duty to support the Brahminical ashram, the Brahmacharis, through the medium of charity. If we recognize that duty in our lives and we take this preservation of Brahminism very seriously, then we will find that there will be peace and order in society. Because that is one of the missions of ISKCON, to cultivate and protect these Brahmanas. And this is a good example. This translation is a good example of what kind of charity was prevalent in Vedic times. So I'll stop here and ask if there are any questions or comments or corrections. So the question is that do impersonalists also come under the set of Brahmanas? Are they also part of Brahminism? So the short answer is yes. Yes, an impersonalist can be a Brahmana. In fact, what to speak of an impersonalist being a Brahmana? Prabhupada says in Srimad Bhagavatam that impersonalists are also transcendentalists. You will find that, I think probably in the 6th canto or somewhere, Prabhupada's 6th canto, no, before that. Maybe 4th or 5th. Yeah. Prabhupada says impersonalists are also transcendentalists. And Prabhupada is talking about the Brahmavadis essentially. So yes. See, impersonalism is what? Is impersonalism is what? Brahman. Understanding the Lord as Brahman, the impersonal aspect of the Lord is Brahmavadi. And Brahma Janati Iti Brahmana. So therefore a person who knows Brahman is a Brahmana. So how can an impersonalist not be a Brahmana in that sense? That is Shastric evidence of that. Right? Now, but still, the import of your question was that at the end of the day, they are not Vaishnavas. That was what you wanted to ask through your question, right? That was what you are thinking at the back of the mind. That is what our thinking is. As a devotee, that's what our thinking is. You know? Because when we become devotees, you know, we generally understand that this is the only real aspect of life, you know, Vaishnavism. So here we have to understand that this is still talking about Varnashrama Dharma. Varnashrama Dharma is not directly talking about, is not in the same league as Srimad Bhagavatam.
That's why Varnashrama Dharma talks about what? Dharma Artha Kama Moksha. No?
So there the Dharma part is being discussed. Religiosity is being discussed. Because Varnashrama Dharma is meant for bringing fallen souls to the human platform first. If we cannot be good human beings, then how can we go back to Godhead? Vaishnavism is a big thing. Like, you know, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said, we are not Vaishnavas, we are what? Vaishnava Abhas. We are practicing Vaishnavas, we are a shadow of Vaishnavas, but we really cannot call ourselves devotees. We are shadow devotees. We are following the process to become a devotee, but we cannot say we are devotees in that sense. But this is talking about that those principles that will bring someone, gradually elevate someone to the mode of goodness. Is it clear? Daivi Varnashrama Dharma, how does a Brahmana deal with other Varanas? That's a question, right? So, the moment we talk about Daivi Varnashrama Dharma, then we immediately remember Lord Chaitanya's message. What is the verse? Kiba Vipra, Kiba Nyasi, Shudra Kene Naya, then E Krishna Tattva Jane Sei Guru Hai. So, in one sense, the moment we talk ourselves as devotees, then there is no question that I am a Brahman or Kshatriya or Vaishya or Shudra. Right? So, but still, Prabhupada still gave us these principles of Varnashrama Dharma so that we understand that at least we have to be at a minimum standard to be devotees. So in that sense, we need to understand Varnashrama Dharma. But the moment we become devotees, though we are Brahmin initiated, we don't start claiming them ourselves as Brahmanas. I remember, I think I mentioned in this class also before, when I came back after my second initiation, one devotee came to me and said, Haribol Prabhu, you have become Brahmana. Haribol. You know, I said, no, I have not become Brahmana because I have only got Brahminical initiation. I have not got Brahminical certification. Right? That is the meaning of initiation means what? You are initiating someone. You are just telling someone, okay, now you start being a Brahmana. Right? But we somehow start thinking that, you know, when I get initiated, that means I am Brahmana now. No, it's not like that. By following the process of deity worship, by doing patan, patan, yajan, yajan for many, many years, without Vaishnava prayer, we will come to the platform of being a Vaishnava Brahman. So, in that sense, as sadhakas, then I am not Brahman, I am not Kshatriya, I am not Vaishya, I am Shudra, I am simply a servant of the Lord. If in my service I have to do Brahminical services, then people, yes, Brahminical initiation, you are required to do deity worship, you are required to teach, being in training and education, so then you are a Brahmana. You are required to be temple president. So therefore, you need to have Kshatriya qualities. Because as temple president, you cannot have, you know, what a temple president has to do? He has to give reward and he has to give punishment. If, you know, anybody walks into the temple and starts vandalizing, if the temple president says, Hari Bol, you know, there is Paramatma inside you also. If you start dealing like that, people will say, oh, very good, you know, I'll bring more people, you know, to loot the temple. So, temple president has to be strict. Because that is a duty. But then again, we should not forget that he is a devotee. This is in the Daivi Varnashrama, we have to always remember that Kshatriya nature is being dovetailed in directly in Krishna consciousness. Not that the Kshatriya nature is there, therefore that person has to be elevated gradually. No, that is the other Varnashrama Dharma. In Daivi Varnashrama Dharma, the devotee is performing various roles within a day. The same devotee who has done deity worship in the evening may be washing the bathroom there, toilets, right? Now, that is not actually, you know, if you see pristine Varnashrama Dharma, Brahmana will not do all that job. That is the job of a Shudra. But we do that. As devotees, we go out for fundraising, you know. So what is that job? Whose job is that? The Vaishyas, we do cow protection. That is again, you know, taking care of the cows, giving them a bath, all that is. You know. So, the moment you come to the
realm of devotional service, then we are no longer Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra. But yes, the activities we perform are derived from those activities. Mataji, does it make sense? You got answer. Okay. Any other questions? Oh, yes.
Just to mention that in the Vedic society, the Vaishyas, Kshatriyas, and the Brahmanas take a diksha, not we get initiation, not we call them initiation. And all they do that, they devotion, they do many things, but the Brahmana is distinguished by the qualities he has acquired, qualifications, qualities of his nature.
Thank you, Madhuri. Very nice point.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai Nitai Guru Nama.